Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Welcome again to Shanghai Community Fellowship. My name is Su Tsai, and if you do not know me, I'm the Community Life Director here at SCF, and I'm from Brazil. So one of the things that are amazing about being part of SCF has always been the community and the people that I get to know. And if you do not know me, Josh, our worship director, will probably tell you that one of my kryptonites are babies. Love babies, love children. And I get to sometimes go out with the moms and, you know, hang out with the babies. Most of the time, I'm not the babysitter, I'm the play date. One of those times we end up going to Disney, and this was not that long ago, and I was out with one of the moms, and, you know, we have one of the toddlers around, and, you know, it's changing season, like the season is changing a little bit, so the kids are, you know, sometimes get a little bit like running nose, and but we went out anyway, and we are at Disney waiting at the carousel line. It wasn't a bad day in Disney, so it was okay, but we are waiting there, and this little one comes close to me. And she gets like my knee high, and she just does one movement. She wiped her nose on me. I look down, and she just have this little grin on her face. At that point, and I'm one of those adults that get into trouble with parents because I laugh in the wrong times. So I wasn't sure if I was supposed to laugh or, you know, kind of think like this is just way too gross. But at that point, the mom took the child and it was like, no, you're not supposed to do this. Say sorry, blah, blah, blah. So it was a moment of teaching. And I always open up with this premise. I think sometimes being part of the family of God is just like that. And I'll leave it like that. I'll come back to that later on. But I just want you to keep that image, what it looks like to be part of the family of God. Let us just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be together, Lord, and again to read your word, Lord, in community, Lord, and continually, Lord, come to you, Lord, for understanding, for revelation. And we pray, Lord, that as we read, Lord, that you also reveal yourself to us, Lord. That you remind us, Lord, of again, how to walk our lives in the light of you, Lord, that we are living in this world, Lord, and but it's not about us. It's really about what you want to see happening around us, Lord, and how you're transforming us from inside out. So we pray, Lord, as we read, that you continue to, again, do the work that you continue to do it, Lord, until the day that we see you face to face. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this is my question today. What changes when we become part of the family of God? And as I was preparing for today's message, I end up in the book of 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is a very, very short book. You can probably read it in less than 15 minutes. Most precise, 13 minutes and 09 seconds. When I said that previously, when I used to do these things with the youth, part of that was almost like a challenge. So throughout the week, when I was talking to the youth, they would most likely be the ones kind of texting me and saying, I read that less than the time that took you. But I'm not going to do that to you. I'm just saying, I encourage you, if you ever have the chance to this week, to sit in one sit and read the whole book of 1 Peter. It's about 5 chapters. It would take you less than 15 minutes to do that. And it is very enlightening when you kind of read something like a book like that at once, because you kind of try to grasp everything like a bigger picture of what the author was trying to say. And this book, there's lots of core principles and practical ways to live the Christian life. And some would say that even like for new believers, that's a good book to give them to read, because again, it's a very practical book, very, very core principles. And you're going to have a lot of like very straightforward exhortations, which means do this, don't do that. There's nothing else like as clear as that. And it will address the, and when
Peter wrote this book, he was addressing various churches in Asia Minor at that time, which in the map you can see actually is modern Turkey today. But there were like believers that being scattered because of persecution and suffering. So they were living in societies that they had their own values that did not resemble godly values. So recently I was in a conference. I don't know if you were here last week, you heard Garth speaking. The two of us were actually previously in the week before in a conference that had almost 4,000 missionaries from all over the world. And we were hearing stories of really what it looked like for some people to be in very close, very harsh places, how they were being there, like sharing the gospel and really build up the church in very, very difficult places. And that those stories you would hear not only from the people that were in the front, but because we were sharing meals together, I would hear there that as we were grabbing breakfast together, having lunch and dinner. So it was just a reminder that that kind of persecution still happens today. And although it might not be our case right now, to not forget, you know, to not forget. So as First Peter says, you know, it gives the persecuted Christians a very powerful reminder that they have hope. They can have hope in the midst of all that suffering. That even from the time of Abraham, God's people were a misunderstood minority, and they should expect hostility because it comes with the price of following Jesus as they live under King Jesus' rule. However, they are chosen by God people chosen by God, the persecution is actually to be considered a gift because it offers them a chance to show others the surprising generosity and love of Jesus, which is fueled by hope in his return and victory over evil. In the same conference, we heard from people that were in prison for a couple of years because of the gospel. And to hear them sharing that, you know, although they were in very harsh circumstances, they used every single opportunity to share the love of Christ, that they would respond to things and to the guards and to the people around them in a way that they were not expecting, and how God really was there in the midst of their suffering, and how that that was a witness for those who did not know Christ. Peter is hopeful that in the imitation of Jesus, that in the demonstration of this upside-down kingdom, that people will actually not only hear the words, but will see by the actions and bear witness to God's mercy and show people the beautiful truth about Jesus Christ. So I'm going to look into today's text, and I got a lot of the part of the text from, like, it's everything from First Peter, and we are just going to see a few of the verses. The first one is in First Peter 13, 1 to 5. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So again, what changes when we become part of the family of God? We are called to be holy because he is holy. As we continue in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. What changes when we become part of the family of God? We are called to be holy because he is holy. We are called to love one another deeply now that we have been purified by obeying the truth. In 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3, it reads, and I continue, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. What changes when we become part of the family of God? We are called to be holy because He is holy. We are called to love one another deeply now that we have been purified by obeying the truth. We are called to crave pure spiritual milk, to have hunger. And I was reminded of, like, you know, in 1 Peter, the time that Peter wrote that letter, imagine the church and what the church looked like. And really, sometimes we take for granted the fact that we have access to the Word of God the way that we do, that you can pull out from our phones. Again, when I was with the 4,000 missionaries, we were talking about how there's still Bible illiteracy in the world. There are places that the Bible haven't been translated yet. So there's still a movement that's going to the ends of the earth to try to translate into languages that haven't been translated yet and to reach out and to distribute Bibles. But at that time, you can imagine that people didn't have copies at home. It's not something that they would do on their own. It was something that they did it in community. And they did it in community because a lot of the people, actually most of the people were, they couldn't read. They were illiterate. So coming together, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God was something that was really treasured. You can imagine, like, throughout the week or how often or not often you could do that. So we are called to have that kind of hunger for the Word of God, that as we come together to actually realize the importance of reading the Word together and studying the Word together as they did then. In 1 Peter 2, then it goes on in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." What changes when we become part of the family of God? We are called to be holy because He is holy. We are called to love one another deeply now that we have been purified by obeying the truth. We are called to crave pure spiritual milk, to have hunger. We are being built into a spiritual house. What it means to be part of a spiritual house. And I wanted to invite Jacob to come here and share a story with you.
Thank you, Sue. Good afternoon, church. My name is Jacob Schenkel. I come from Chicago in the United States. If anyone else here from Chicago, I know at least one from my cell group. I was asked to come up here to share today about how my own life, my family, has been transformed through becoming a part of this church. And so I want to talk a little bit about how I became a part of this church and then about my community group and how that impacts my life today. My wife and I first went to church. Well, I came to China in the year 2000, and I met my wife a few years after that, and we were married, had two kids. My wife is Catherine. She's sitting over here. She doesn't like attention, so. So around 2005, we went to church together for the first time, and we actually went to St. Peter's Church on Chongqing Road to a Christmas. We went there at Christmas time with some friends who invited us there. And since in my background, I had grown up in a Protestant tradition, I honestly wasn't very comfortable in the Catholic Church. But probably what I didn't know is that I just wasn't comfortable in church in general. And so after going there for a little while, I decided to look to see if there were other churches to go to. And so I found that there was this church here on Hongshan Road, and we came here for a morning service and sat up in the balcony where they have English translation. And then after the church service, the kind woman that used to do the translation in the balcony kind of tugged me on the sleeve and said, "You know, there's an English church here in the afternoon." And so that's how I found out about this church, about the Shanghai Community Fellowship Community. So I'd like to say it was the next week, but I think it was maybe a month or so later. My wife and I, we finally came here for church to attend this service. And so we started to kind of come in and go out, and we placed our kids in the Sunday school. And then frequently, I would be sitting with the kids in Sunday school, and we'd kind of spend some time here in the service, but most of our time with our kids in Sunday school, kind of going to church, but really not going to church, making excuses to, you know, be busy with your kids and things like that. And I serve in our church's Sunday school program today, and I have since then, but at that point, when I was sitting there week over week, you know, watching my kids, the Sunday school director at that time was named Sue, but Sue Lextian, not Sue Tai. She looked at me one day and said, and Sue was a very direct person, she said, "Jacob, if you're going to be here, you're going to help." And I was kind of shocked, but I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she more or less said, "I don't know, just do something." So if you wonder how easy it is to begin serving, it can be that you just begin doing something. And so for myself, I started to do skits and things like that in the Sunday school. And we carried on like that for a while. My wife and I looked up a community group, or a cell group, as we called them at that time, and we went to visit a community group in Shuhui Garden. It was a large family cell group, and we had never experienced anything like that, where we arrived and there's all these families that know each other so well. And to be honest, their love of God and the intensity of their study of the Bible, it was shocking to us. We had never experienced people who lived a faith like that. And to be honest, we weren't ready for it. My wife and I, so we didn't go again. It was, I mean, in hindsight, it was a wonderful cell group, but we weren't ready for that yet. And so we went back to our normal routine of kind of half being in Sunday school, half being in church, until one day my wife showed me this advertisement for something called Together Groups. There was a community group campaign by the church. And so sometime at the end of 2006, we joined a Together Group. And our Together Group met over at a home on Ulamuchi Road. And we had great hosts. They were really hospitable. But they were also, they owned their own business and were super busy people that were probably in airplanes more than they were on the ground. And so our 5 or 6 week study took about 3 months to get through all the sessions. But in that time, we met other families with kids that were our age, some older, some younger, people who were also couples who were half of the people were from Shanghai and some people were from overseas. And you began to have people get to know you and to get to know other people. And by the end of that 12 weeks, another couple in that group had decided they needed somebody who was on the ground more than in the air. And they decided they were going to move out of their own apartment and move into a bigger home to begin a community group just for families. And so they moved to Pudong, and they did that. They started a group, and that's when our own community group, Blessed Oasis. So if you're out there from Blessed Oasis, I'd just say hello, give a little shout out. We're not really screamers and hollerers, but. So our community group was born in Pudong, actually. And in the beginning, it was chaotic, to say the least, because we were somewhere between 10 and 12 families, and mostly young children, almost all elementary school children, maybe somewhat, maybe between 15 and 25 kids each week. So you can imagine that's a little chaotic. So we never lacked energy. But there's a process for becoming a part of that community. And for my wife and I, in the beginning, we were both getting used to being a part of a faith community and what that meant, as well as my wife and I getting used to interacting with people from different backgrounds and different places. And I think particularly for my wife, she's a business person, but spending time with women who had dedicated their lives to being mothers and who had worked once before but hadn't had a work background, and to find common ground in areas of interest and learning to get to know each other even though your backgrounds are very diverse and very different. And so it wasn't so easy in the beginning, but we persisted in it because we could feel that God was growing and changing us through this community. And it became something that once in a while we would question whether we should go or not, and then it became something where we had to go. If you fast forward a few years, our community group split a couple times, and one of our hosts moved back to the United States, and so my wife and I became hosts, and Most of you may not know us, but you know, prior to that, the thought of having people over to our home was a very painful thing. We'd be really thinking, do we really want people to see all of the mess, both on the inside and the outside of our lives, and to just see how unclean our house is or disorganized and things like that? But I think after years of being in community with these other people, we had learned to say, you have to let these things go. These people know you, and they could care less about, you know, whether your towels match or whether your books are put away or your kids' rooms are a mess and all of those kind of things. And so we began to really feel what it is to be part of a family as well as a church. And so I would say at that point, after 4 or 5 years in our community group, it became a part of our life that was irreplaceable, more or less the cornerstone of our life. And community groups being a cornerstone of our church in a way that it's very easy to be anonymous in this large group of people. But once you become a part of that community group and you have people who, they know you deeply, they know you're good and you're bad. They may have even seen you and your wife arguing about things or seen you get mad at your kids, or they've been praying for the problems in your life as well as the joys in your life. And over time, these people know the rhythm of who you are. And I think what's so important about that is that you have people around you who love you. They love you enough that they will tell you the truth in all circumstances. I think we all have friends in our and colleagues in our work environments where people will, they'll tell us what we want to hear, or they'll tell us what helps us get by, but they don't necessarily share with you the truth that you need to hear from God's word and from their heart and what they know from the Spirit about you. So, I mean, it's in our community group that my wife and I were, when we were still not walking fast enough in the faith, we were encouraged to go to Alpha. My wife and I were baptized right here together in 2010, along with some other members of our community group. We've walked with each other. As you have struggles in our marriage, you're encouraged to go to marriage seminars and have people from your group in the background praying over you for that whole weekend while you're away. And then seeing the power of the Spirit to transform your marriage and your family. We've been with each other, praying for each other at the side of hospital beds when people are injured or sick. We've had wild wedding celebrations on the Bund. We've had the honor of raising 5 or 6 orphans from babies until they were either adopted by families within our community group or that were adopted with their forever families in other countries. And the experience of just living life together. Now, that may be unique to our expatriate community here, but I also think it's important for anyone, even when you're close to your family, if your family members aren't the type of people who are going to know you and bring the word of God to you and love you like the love that we hear in this passage in 1 Peter, you need that. So my own life, my own family, and I'd say my extended family have all been transformed by being a part of this church community. And so as I close, I guess I'd just really like to, if you are here, whether it's for a short time or a long time, you have to have that group of people who know you well. And you may think, oh, I'm here for 6 months or I'm here for a year. How well are they going to get to know me? I think you'd be surprised that when you commit yourself to other people and you place in that community, you place the needs of others above your needs, and you genuinely pour out love on those other people, your own life is changed as well as the life of those other individuals. So if you're not a part of a community group or even a part of a ministry within this church, I would encourage you to right now and today to be praying about that and to get yourself involved. So thank you, Sue.
Oftentimes we can read the word of God, but there's nothing more powerful than actually see it being lived out. And I think sometimes we do take for granted what we have, but to realize that this is here, SCF is here in Shanghai, and there's so much that we hope for when people come. One of the things that we talked about when people come, that we have this little path, and we talk about being rooted. We want people to come here and be rooted, to be established in Christ and in community. We want people to be nourished, that we are called to be in Christ, to grow in Christ, to become disciples and to grow in that, in imitating Jesus. And we are called to be engaged, to serve together with passion. And serve can look like something like here on Sundays in different ministries, but serve can also mean going out there and going on missions. This weekend, actually, we have two different teams doing two different kinds of work outside of Shanghai. And we hope that, you know, they're being blessed, but to actually experience that together can be life-changing. And it's really like what God is trying to do. It's like expanding our hearts to think outside of just our own needs, but to see the needs of the world. So we are called into going into missions. And I'll say something very specific about this church. We know that for us, this is a missionary church because nobody stays. We, as foreigners, people come and go. It depends on what you do in the time that you're here and how long you're here, but also how you continue to take this mission outside of Shanghai, outside of SCF, outside of China. So don't, I think it's something that we realized that as we started to talk to people that have left Shanghai and have left SCF, that sometimes it was hard to find such a unique community. And I say there's uniqueness in who we are because, again, we are expats, we don't have our own families here. We come from almost 100 plus different nations that meet every Sunday with different backgrounds, different languages, but we are under the same roof, worshiping the same God because of Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. And it is something that we want to take it outside of here, that, you know, wherever you go, that's the kind of church and this kind of experience that you have here in Shanghai will be something that you can carry on. So be missional as you leave. But while you're here, be intentional. Be rooted, be nourished, be engaged. And as Jacob said, if you're not part of a community group, it's time. Don't waste time. Our mission is to engage and empower community with Christ's urgencies for his church and the nations. And nations happens every week. So in 1 Peter 2, 9, 10, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Now I'm going to ask you to stand up. Stand up, because we are going to be reading this passage. But we are going to read this passage instead of saying "you," we will say "we." Let's read together. "But we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy." You may be seated. And I don't know about you, but when that comes to light, there is a part of me that in the fear of the Lord really question, you know, how much of that am I walking out? If I read that every single day, would that be true in my life? Do I truly believe that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light? That once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. So maybe for some, last weekend when Garth shared, you know, maybe for some it's time to consider, is it time for me to stay or to go? And this happens often when we are in this crossroad. But for others, especially if you just arrived, this is where he has led you to be. Be part of the church. Be part of the family of God. Be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In 1 Peter 4, 8-10, it says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." And maybe just like the other Sue, and I remember Sue really well. She served this church with so much heart for the children. But you know, sometimes we need something like that, a nudge, someone that's going to tell us, if you're going to be here, do something. If you're going to be here, to serve something. And recently, we just put this on the website, thanks to Con, who has been leading our discipleship track. But if you would like to, if maybe this is all very new, you've never been part of a church before, you can go to our website, and there is one tag that says serve the body. There's a way that you can actually do, if you've never done spiritual gifts, tests and different things, and shows the different areas that you can be serving within the church and outside of the church. So I encourage you, do something like that. You know, be active. If you're here, do something. I'm going to end, kind of coming to the end of this message, with addressing the elders. And I'm not saying just the seven elders that are serving SCF, but I'll read from 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. In the same way, that's for the elders. And as I said, it's not just for the seven elders that are serving SCF. I'm talking to those who have experienced and walked with the Lord and witnessed the Lord. Some of us have been here for a while, and it's time for you to walk into this, into walking into someone else's life and shepherding them. To shepherd God's flock that's under your care. To get involved in someone else's life. To speak into their life. To discipline and to help and to teach them what it means. And to be an example. To be an example. A lot of what we learn is how we see others do. Be an example to others. Maybe you came with an experience. Maybe you were very involved in the church that you came from. But you came to Shanghai and you're like, maybe this is the break that I needed. That's within you. Pray. Because if God speaks, you better listen. Then I'll address the younger. To who are younger? 1 Peter 5:5. And it says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Younger, don't think that you know everything. There's so much more that God can teach you in the process of knowing him and walking in his ways. To actually humble yourself and be willing to be in a place where someone can speak into your life, to discipline you, and like what Jacob was saying, to actually speak truth in love, you need humility, because nobody wants to be told off. But do you trust the people that are around you? Are you willing to hear? Are you willing to be in the place where, again, that you recognize that God can use others to speak into your life? Be humble. So we as a church, be reminded of this, that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. that once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. We cannot forget that. And as I said, nobody really stays here in Shanghai. So we know that whatever you experience here, it's not something to be retained. That no matter where you go, no matter where we are, that we are living our lives for God. That we are called to live our lives for God. That we are on a mission to live out our faith and to transform the communities that we are part of. Whether you're being here in this church or you're going to another church, remember that. Remember that you're carrying out. The experiences that you had here are going to be continuing used for your in your personal walk, but also to transform the communities that God brings you to. Today we shared about different ministries and different ways that you can be connected, but I'll end with what Sue said. If you're here, do something. Serve. Be connected to a community group. Open your home to a community group. Maybe that's something that it's uncomfortable for you. But when you create families, when you create opportunities for people to connect, that's when I go back into the image that I shared in the beginning, that as a church and as the family of God, we are just like that picture with that little kid. That sometimes it can be messy and it can be yucky. But there is someone that might come alongside and help and discipline and teach with love what is okay and what is not okay to do. And it's in community that those moments come about. That's not isolated on your own. That, you know, as we relate to one another, that's where within the church first, even before we talk about going outside of the church and walking in a world that doesn't have the same values, we are talking about the people of God. You know, how do we treat one another and how do we respond to one another? It's going to really make a difference in how we continue to witness to the outside world. In a kingdom that is very upside down, in values that are very not natural to what we are used to. But in community, we find mothers and fathers. In community, we find sons and daughters. In community, we find brothers and sisters. When we start to care for one another in a way that your pain is my pain, what you're going through, it's what I'm going through, and we struggle together, that's when the family of God is built and the body of Christ presents Christ in the way that it's supposed to. So be part of this spiritual house. But if you're here, do something. Let's pray. And I'll pray this from 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.